So we are talking about, at this point, we're in the gospel according to Romans, basically, that's what I call it, Romans chapter 6. And at this point, we're talking about the practical outcome of the gospel. It's like, most of you know that Jesus died for your sins. Most of you would probably say, if someone asked you, what does it mean to have Jesus as your Savior? You would probably answer, Jesus died to forgive me. And that's true. There is forgiveness in Jesus Christ, and there's not forgiveness in any other name other than Jesus. But there is so much more that Jesus has given us beyond forgiveness. And this comes down to the practical living the Christian life. Living the Christian life. And here's the thing, is that a lot of people get disturbed about Christians that don't live the Christian life. They know folks that, you know, maybe they go to church, maybe they read their Bibles, but when it comes down to it, they don't live it out Monday through Friday. Saturday night, where are they? That kind of thing, right? What are they doing? Okay. So in Romans 6, Paul is really laying out, he asked us a question the last time, and I'm going to review just a hair of that. He says, should we sin because we are under grace? And the answer is absolutely not. Never let it be. And that means, like, okay, because I have believed in Jesus Christ and God gives me righteousness, now what I do just doesn't matter, right? And Paul says, absolutely not. Never let it be. Jesus didn't die so that I could sin. As a matter of fact, what he says to us is that Jesus died. When Jesus died, I died. And when Jesus rose, I rose. So my old sinful person should be dead and buried. And the new person should be raised into new life. So at the end of that, he tells us, do not offer the parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life. And offer the parts of your body to him as instruments of righteousness. For sin shall not be your master, because you are not under the law, but under grace. And in there, he's talking about a freedom that comes to us. So the picture in the first half of Romans 6 was this, that when Jesus Christ died, the old sinner in me died. When I believe in Jesus Christ, I died with Jesus. And then when Jesus rose again from the dead, I rose. And so now I am free from the power of sin. What does that mean? That means that sin has no power to condemn me. Why? Because I have a Savior named Jesus. And Jesus, being who he is, the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings, he has authority. When he says I'm innocent, I'm innocent. And so he's given that to me. It's a gift from God. He's given me righteousness. And I am free from the power of sin. And that brings us to the next question. What then? Shall we sin because we're not under the law but under grace? In other words, okay, so I don't use my grace as a means to sin. What about my freedom that comes from that grace? I think this is a problem that a lot of folks have, that again, they think that they're okay because they believed in Jesus, but they know they're free, so they think nothing they do matters anymore. I can do whatever I want. I just have to go to church, say I'm sorry, it'll all be good. That is not the plan of salvation. That is not the right use of our freedom. He asks, do we continue in sin because we are free, because we're not under the law? And the answer again is absolutely not. Never let it be. Jesus Christ did not die so that we could be sinners. He didn't die so that we continue to live life on our own terms. He died so that we could live our lives on God's terms, so that we could be his children, his people. He died so that we could have a closer relationship with God than was ever possible before. So he goes on. He says, don't you know that when you offer yourself to someone to obey as slaves, you are slaves to the one you obey. Whether you are slaves to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness. Here it is. The idea is we're, you know, once Jesus Christ is in our lives, once we have confessed faith in Jesus Christ, we have a freedom. We have a power to choose. Without Jesus Christ, you don't have a power to choose. If Jesus Christ is not your Savior, if Jesus Christ has not died for your sins, you are still powerless. You're like a prisoner chained up, or you're like a slave that's told to do by, you know, whatever his master tells him to do. You're enslaved to sin because you have no other choice. But in Jesus Christ, we're free from that sin. But now we have a freedom of choice. We can either choose to be like a normal human being and live under sin and do the behaviors that come with sin, and that leads to separation and death. Or we could choose to obey God through the new way that Jesus has given us, through the power of the Spirit, new behaviors. Don't you know that you choose? This verse is a very important verse to me. 30-some years ago, I was sitting in a chair and I was reading my Bible. I had a Bible open, and I opened it. I was reading Romans 6. I remember this verse. And it says, you know, don't you know that you choose who you're going to serve? That was in my right hand. In my other hand, I had a bag of marijuana. Yeah. And literally, on this side of my chair, marijuana. On this side of the chair, the Bible. And I'm reading the Bible, and I'm reading what Paul said. He says, don't you know that you choose your master? And that became so real to me. I'd been seeking God. I'd been praying to God. I'd been asking God for help. And when those words struck my heart, I realized that there was a power, there was an ability to choose God and to do what's right. And I went out, I took the bag of marijuana, I went out in the field behind my house, and I shook it out, and, you know, hopefully it's not growing. But I made a choice that I was no longer going to be a slave to sin. I was no longer going to serve that old man. I was no longer going to serve and be mastered by that dope, right? And this is the thing with folks. You got to know that there is sin in your nature. Every human being is born with sin. And if we yield to that sin, if we follow that sin, it will destroy you. Why is it that so many homes end up in divorce? Why is it that so many parents are estranged from their children? And how come, you know, there aren't good parents going out taking care of their kids, and the kids are just left to run wild? And why are the streets so messed up? Why are the neighborhoods so messed up? Why is the country so messed up? It's because sin is ruling hearts and minds and lives. How can you go by a church? We had it happen. We had a van, one of our vans parked outside. How can you go by a church van and decide that you're going to break the church van windows unless sin rules your heart? We fix the windows. They don't mean anything. What's sad is the heart that would do that. What's sad is the heart that would go to an abandoned house and say, oh, I'm going to light this on fire. What's sad is a life that's given over to drugs, alcohol, greed, and all these other passions that destroy the life. And Jesus Christ came so that we would have power to choose. Again, apart from Jesus Christ, you can't choose. Apart from Jesus Christ, you're as much a prisoner, you're as much enslaved as anything else. But in Jesus Christ, there's a power. There's a power to say, I am going to follow God. I'm going to obey God rather than follow sin. I'm going to go in a path in the direction where my life is going to be with Christ. Righteousness is going to follow. How do you do that? Well, you say, well, thanks be to God that though you used to be slaves to sin, you wholeheartedly obeyed the form of teaching to which you were entrusted. You know, some people think, you know, that church doctrine or theology or the teachings of the church or the teachings of the Bible aren't necessarily important. And here, Paul says they're absolutely essential to knowing God's plan for your life. They're essential for buying your freedom. They're essential for you to be able to choose to obey God and follow God. He says, you heard the truth, and we know the truth is what sets us free. We know that the truth that came from Jesus Christ, the Word of God, that Word of truth has power to save. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, he'll say later when he talks about salvation coming to folks, right? Here, he's saying to them, he says, listen, you guys, one time you were outside. One time you were out there, you know, like I was. I was out there smoking dope. I was out there living a crazy life, right? But then I heard about Jesus, and I thought about Jesus, and I began to read about Jesus, and I began to talk about Jesus, and God sent somebody next to me. He sent a friend to me, and the friend started telling me more and more and more about God, and I began to understand that I had a faith, but it wasn't a deep faith. I'd had a relationship with God, but it wasn't a deep relationship, and my relationship began to get deeper as I found more and more of the truth of God, right? It's so important. It's so important that we understand that what we listen to, you know, I warned my people. I said, don't watch things on TV. Don't go to televangelists to get your doctrine. You know, be careful where you go. Be careful what you put in your mind. Be careful what people are trying to put in your heart. That doctrine will either save you or it will mislead you. There are billions of people on this planet that have been misled and deceived because they've not followed the form of doctrine which leads them strictly to Jesus Christ. There's only one Savior. There's only one name, and His name is Jesus. Jesus is the only one that is able to free us from sin. Jesus is the only one who died as a sacrifice for sin. There is no other. Nobody else has done that. Jesus was the atoning sacrifice that God sent into the world. Jesus is the one who they put in a tomb and they thought they had conquered Him. They thought they had defeated Him. But on the third day, He rose again from the dead. On the third day, He conquered death. On the third day, He destroyed the power of sin. He destroyed the power of the devil. And He was raised from the dead, and He invites us to join Him in that power. He invites us to join Him in that freedom. He invites us to join Him in that eternal life. But it's only through Jesus Christ. You know, the Muslims will try to tell you it's Muhammad. The Mormons will try to tell you Joseph Smith. But I'm telling you, there's one name under heaven that we are given, that we must call upon to be saved, and that name is the name of Jesus. Jesus, and Jesus only, is the Savior. And so He's talking to these guys, and He's telling them, He's saying, you know, you're changing. You're walking with God. Why? Because you believed what you heard. You believed the gospel when you heard it. You trusted in the name of Jesus. You trusted in the power of His death. Without the death of Jesus Christ, I could never have been forgiven for all the nasty things I ever did. And if all those sins were piled up in front of me, there's no court in the land that would not call me guilty, that would not condemn me. But because of the power of the cross, because of the death of Jesus Christ, God looks at me and He says, righteous. He says, you're right with me. You're good with me. You're a good guy. That's what He says. Because of the power of the death of Jesus Christ. And the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ means I don't live in that old lifestyle, that old body. I live in a power that comes when Jesus is your Savior. A power that as Jesus is risen, so is my life risen. And I walk with Jesus. I have His Spirit in my heart. He speaks to me. He tells me, no, don't go over there. Don't do that. Don't watch that. Don't touch that. Don't think like that. He guides my very footsteps every day, every hour. It's not something that, you know, we have to conjure up. It's something that is present with us because Jesus is present with us. This is the great salvation. This is the great doctrine that Paul taught and that he was telling these folks that they had believed in, and it saved their lives. You've been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness. Set free from sin and serving righteousness. That's the Christian life. I was talking to a Christian, and they were talking about another denomination, another church, and they would say, I'm so tired of people who go to church once a year, and they don't even think about God all the time or the rest of the year. They don't do anything. That's not Christianity, folks. If Jesus Christ isn't in your waking thoughts and isn't in your sleeping thoughts and isn't in your thoughts through the day, you don't know Jesus. You're not walking with Him. You're not living with Him because Jesus is a living Savior and His salvation is a living salvation. It's not something you do once a week. It's something you do every moment of every day. It's not about a decision that you made, you know, sometime back in your history. It's about 1,000 decisions you make every day. It's living with Jesus, talking with Jesus, praying to Jesus, walking with Him is the way Paul puts it, walking with Him. We're not slaves to sin any longer. We're slaves to righteousness I put this in human terms because you are weak in your natural selves, just as you used to offer parts of your body to in slavery to impurity and ever-increasing wickedness. So now offer them in slavery to righteousness, leading to holiness. What is God looking for? You think God, and when he opens up the kingdom of heaven, you think he wants another Southwest Detroit up there? Do you think he wants another confused nation like the United States or any other nation on the planet? Do you think he wants the house filled with sinners? It'd be like opening up the door for a bunch of cockroaches. Oh, let them come in, you know? No, the kingdom of heaven isn't for that. The kingdom of heaven is about holiness. The kingdom of heaven is about righteousness. And so he says, when we serve God in righteousness, when we offer ourselves to God in righteousness, it leads to holiness. That's what gets you in the kingdom of heaven, folks. That's what gets you into God's house. You don't open your door for just anybody, do you? When someone comes and asks, oh, I can come in, right? No, you know, I don't open my door up for anybody, but for someone who shares my values, to someone who's like closer than a brother to me, to someone who's like me, well, sure, I'm going to open my house to him. And that's what God's doing. He's making children of God. He's not letting cockroaches into the kingdom. He's opening the door for his children, and that's those who've been slaves to righteousness, leading to holiness. When you were slaves to sin, you were free from the control of righteousness. You know that, right? Some of the guys hang out on the streets all day. They don't think about God. And when I was out there, I used to, every once in a while, I'd start talking to my friends about God. They said, would you stop that? We don't want to hear that. They were free from that. They didn't want to hear about God. They didn't want to hear about righteousness. They didn't want to hear about Jesus. They wanted to enjoy their sin. They wanted me to enjoy their sin. Right? He says, when you were out there in sin, you were free from the control of righteousness. And what benefit did it reap at that time? Things that you are now ashamed. Right? Those things result in death. I don't talk about what happened 40 years ago. I don't like that. I that guy died, and I'm so glad he's dead. I don't want any part of him. I'm ashamed of him, right? I'd rather talk about what God's been doing for the last 30 years, right? So he says you used to be free, you know, from God, and that led to things that you're now ashamed of and leads to death. But now that you've been set free from sin and have become slaves to God, the benefit you reap leads to holiness and results in eternal life. That's what God's looking for. Again, see that new life we become. You know, which side of this picture are you on? Are you someone that you know, sin is still controlling your life, and then the behaviors of sin are constantly there, and what the ultimate pain of that is death, separation from God? Are you one who Jesus Christ has died for your sins and he has raised for your righteousness, that you walk with him and the behaviors of your heart, the behaviors that you do they're now leading to holiness, they're leading to righteousness, and they're leading to life with God forever? Which side are we on? How do we use our freedom? Well, the wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. How are we going to use our freedom? God came, he sent his son so that we could be free. He sent his son so that we could break the bondage of old sin. He sent his son so we can serve him and not serve sin. He sent Jesus Christ to save us. And most importantly, to save us from ourselves so that we could be with him, right? How are we using our freedom? Well, for those of you who know the Lord Jesus Christ, we know. We're going to walk with God. We're going to pray constantly. We're going to ask God, please, God, help me to serve you in righteousness. Help me to walk with you in the ways of truth. Help me, God, to put have the Holy Spirit in my heart, to have the thoughts of Christ in my mind, to have the actions of God in my hands. Help me, God, to glorify you and to lift up the name of Jesus, not just once a week, not just twice a week, but every hour of every day. I want to walk with Jesus. I want Jesus with me always. Right, Julia? Yeah, sure. All right. Let's pray. Father, we do. We thank you so much for your love and so much for your grace. We thank you so much for the power of Jesus Christ, who came to suffer for our sins and in power rose up from the dead. And he gives us a salvation that is as powerful as his resurrection. A salvation that leads towards right thinking, right behaviors, and holiness, and living with you forever. Oh, Almighty God, help us to cling to such a great salvation. Help us, God, to seek such a great salvation in Jesus. Lord, we pray that this word will be a seed that goes out into the hearts of those who are here. And for those who belong to you, for those who love you, God, that seed will sink in and grow fruit to your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 We're going to take our offering at this time, and we'll all be fine. We can just all sit tight. Nobody has to go anywhere. We won't be that long. And I'm going to sing another song. And after we sing the song, we'll dismiss nicely and calmly.